The reading is from Genesis chapter 15, reading verses 1 to 12 and 17 and 18. And it can be found on page 15 of the Church Bibles. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I shall gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking brazier with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We stand for the gospel reading. Reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, reading from verses 31 to 35, can be found on page 1047 of the Church Bibles. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said, Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you. Jesus replied, Go and tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Now we affirm our faith as we say the words of the Creed together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Hamish is going to speak to us. Thank you.
Shall we pray? Father, as we continue on our Lenten journey, we pray that you would speak to us this morning from your word. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. When I was a child, I used to read Aesop's fables, those moral stories about animals, such as the tortoise and the hare, the dog and the wolf, etc. Now, today our sermon is going under the title, The Fox and the Hen. If you remember our reading from Luke 13, it tells us about Herod, whom Jesus called the fox, because he was such a wily, clever, devious man. And our reading also tells us that Jesus compared himself to a hen gathering her chicks. So we have the fox and the hen. And we'll see how these animals relate to Jesus at the start of Lent, with Easter looming. The points I'm going to make are also probably a bit strange. So first of all, Jesus outfoxed the fox, because we read in Luke 13 that Herod was ruler in the northern kingdom of Galilee, and he was plotting against this upstart Jesus. Remember, this wasn't the Herod that was around at the Nativity, but he's the Herod who had John the Baptist beheaded, often called Herod Antipas. He was like a fox stalking Jesus with a view to eliminating him as a threat to his position in the eyes of the Romans. You can perhaps imagine, if you're into musicals, Herod suddenly singing out, "How do you solve a problem like Jesus?" Perhaps David's not really into musicals. Some of the Pharisees, Jesus' traditional enemies, warned him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else," they said. "Herod wants to kill you." That sounds helpful. But the Pharisees weren't Jesus' friends either. What they wanted was to force Jesus' hand, get him to be the sort of Messiah that they wanted him to be. They wanted him perhaps to join forces with them and see God's law and Jewish independence as they saw it. They had their own agenda. And so they, like Herod, were wily foxes, saying to Jesus, "We're really on the same side. Join forces with us." So both Herod and the Pharisees had fox-like qualities. They both wanted to scare Jesus off, divert Jesus from his path to Jerusalem, his path to the cross. But Jesus was not afraid and was not going to be foxed by any of these people. To both, he pointed out the progress of the kingdom so far, the healing of the sick, the driving out of demons, and emphasized that he must do his Father's will, whatever the cost. He knew the direction that he must take, and he knew his final destination. He knew he must start his journey south at God's pace and set his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem and do what he knew to be his Father's will. Our salvation was his number one objective. As we are walking our Lenten journey, as we look at ourselves, perhaps look at Jesus in a new way, let us reject the fox-like machinations of the devil, who would divert us, who would water our commitments down, who would choke our faith. Let us rededicate ourselves to the Jesus who rejected everything that could get between him and his Father. So Jesus outfoxed the fox and would not be diverted on his Lenten journey. And then we turn to the picture that Jesus paints of himself as the hen. My second point was that Jesus, with a rather strange word, out-henned the hen, as he went a lot further than that picture of the animal that he gave. Speaking of Jerusalem, Jesus used the picture of a hen gathering her chickens under its wings to protect them from harm. He also says that not all the chicks want to gather, and some of them are not very happy to do so. How often, he says, I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. Chicks often wander off, unaware of the danger. So Jesus says he wants to gather and gather and gather people into the kingdom. But many want nothing to do with him, or are not prepared to commit themselves completely to him. And it saddened him. It saddened him a lot. But Jesus went beyond the simple picture of the hen and the chicks as he poured out his love and his grace on all people. Those who were around at that first Lent, and down through the years to those of us on our Lenten journeys today. Much more than a hen, he carries the caring, protecting hen to a new dimension. As he says to us, I give my life for you because I love you so much. And I want you to give back your life to me. It was a huge claim that Jesus was making. He was claiming he'd come to do something which only God himself could do. It must have been a little bit of a shocking picture to those who heard it. And the depth and extent of his love and grace for his people, for the people of Jerusalem then and the people Today, Jesus very much outhenned the hen. He loved to the uttermost, far beyond the picture of the hen and the chicks. The original Aesop's fables usually had surprise endings in which the underdog usually wins. You can think of the tortoise and the hare. And so, in our story of the fox and the hen, it has the surprising ending that the hen wins. Let us rejoice in our Lord, who with determination, despite all effort to deflect him, followed the will of God because he loved us so much. Also, as we journey through Lent to the cross and the resurrection, may we, like Jesus, put God first and reject the fox-like works of the devil. Instead, let us show Jesus hen-like qualities in our wish to bring in and gather others into the love and protection of our living Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Hamish. Shall we stand together, please? Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.